From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Sylvain Goyette.
And welcome back to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. And we are in my office today. We had a little scheduling issue with the studio, so we're doing a fun location shoot. Sylvain is out here from Montreal, Canada, from the Great White North to show us a little bit more about some performance stuff, right?
Yep. So we're going to go a bit more into nitty-gritty details of how to use WPA to do a bit more complex analysis. So last time, we talked about boot time.
Yeah.
We talked about top-level CPU and disk analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes CPU usage and disk usage is not the problem.
Yeah.
You could have a dependency like on the network
right.
or on any device. You're waiting for some data from a device that isn't the disk.
Yeah.
A thread could be sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
We see that often. You think there's a problem with the machine, but the thread is just calling the sleep function, the sleep API.
Yeah.
It's pulling stuff. Like it waits, checks, wait, goes back to sleep, checks again.
Right.
And when that happens in the critical path of a UI thread,
yeah.
the user feels it.
Yeah.
You click on a button, and all the logic happens on the UI thread, then the UI is blocked. The work should be dispatched to like a thread running in the background.
Mm.
The UI should never be blocked on any critical activity like that, network
right.
dependency or.
Right, yeah, this is sort of that bad behavior in apps where it feels just unresponsive and slow and the UI is sluggish.
And sometimes it's not the UI itself, it's not the app itself, it can be contention.
Mm.
Like one thread is running at low priority, and there's something in the background that you're not aware of running at higher priority.
Right.
So your thread never has time to execute.
Right.
So you feel it, but it doesn't show up in terms of CPU usage from your process, and so show up in terms of disk activity.
Yeah.
WPA can help you diagnose what's going on.
Cool.
Can help you see what's happening. Before we jump in WPA, I just wanted to give a bit of technical insights into what are the states a thread can be in.
This is one of those Windows internals book kind of
yes,
things.
Yes, yes, I think that's,
have my copy right here. I grab it since we're
in recommend it to
look
everybody.
Look at this, Windows internals, man. This is the Bible.
That's the first book I read when I was hired 7 years ago, and it's been with me since then.
Man, it's always always in my office.
Yeah. So first thing to know is that a thread, no matter what process it's in, can be in three different states.
Mm-hmm.
Can be running, that means it's executing code on the CPU core.
Mm-hmm.
Can be waiting,
mm-hmm.
so that means I'm waiting on some resource, whether it's a mutex or a device, right?
Right.
I'm waiting on something.
Right, right.
Could be another thread, could be a device, could be an interrupt, doesn't matter, it's in the waiting state. And then it can be in the ready state. That means that the thread is done waiting, it's not executing anything,
mm-hmm.
but it's not on the CPU yet for execution.
Yeah.
Maybe another thread has the priority before it,
right.
so it's in the ready queue,
and
it's waiting for the OS scheduler to put it back on the CPU for execution.
Yeah, so if a lot of threads are in the ready state, that means your CPU is very contended for.
So those three concepts are actually visible in WPA when you look at traces that have the right instrumentation. So we need context switch events,
mm-hmm.
and we need ready thread events. So with context switch events, we can determine when a thread goes from running to waiting or from running to ready.
Mm-hmm.
And with the ready thread event, we can understand what's causing a transition from waiting to ready. So
mm-hmm.
let's say a thread in my process is waiting for another thread to complete some operation.
Right.
When that other thread completes what it's doing and unblocks my first thread, there's a ready thread event logged. And I know exactly what happened at that moment, so I can diagnose the sequence of events that happened before that led to the UI being blocked or some unresponsive scenario.
Okay, great.
So those are the concepts. so what I did here to exemplify critical path analysis is I put together quickly this dummy process UI delay.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically just a UI, a button.
Mm-hmm.
When I click on it,
mm-hmm.
the UI freezes, cannot interact with it anymore.
Okay.
And then 30 seconds later, it unblocks and it shows something in that text box.
Okay.
Right? Just to showcase an example of a UI being unresponsive because it has dependencies on some network resources and CPU usage and whatnot.
Okay.
So how you would diagnose this is you would launch WPR, right, the Windows Performance Recorder.
Mm-hmm.
I would launch WPR, and I would select first level triage.
Okay.
So to get a good a set of events to help me diagnose what's going on in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to select CPU usage, all in the verbose mode.
Mm-hmm.
That will allow me to get that context switch and that ready thread information.
Okay.
To diagnose a critical path.
And people can get Windows Performance Recorder. We've talked about this in other episodes, but that's part of the assessment and deployment kit. The Windows Performance Toolkit, essentially, is what you're installing.
It ships with the ADK, available in the MSDN
for
everybody to use.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned in a previous episode, there's an inbox version of WPR.
Right, so you collect this trace from the command line as well.
But you'll still need to install the ADK to get WPA. Open the trace.
To open it, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, so go get that, because you'll need it to view the trace anyway.
Yeah. So click start, right? I'm going to start. If the trace is long, if the scenario that I'm tracing takes a while, I would trace to file to make sure that I don't fill up the memory buffer
and
lose events at the beginning.
Because it's sort of like a circular buffer.
It's a circular buffer.
If you do the memory trace, so it's only going to be a certain amount of time.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I would trace to file. General, right? You could trace boot or fast startup or shutdown, but here it's just a simple trace.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to power off the machine.
Yeah.
Click start, then click on try to interact with the UI. Oh man, it's blocked.
You're clicking. Nothing's happening.
Not responding.
Oh, and then it gets that.
Now everybody's seen that once in his life.
Everybody hates that. Oh, kind of
still
came
not.
Back. No, that's funny. It went away, but it's still kind of not responding.
Well, now it's done. Okay. Now everything works fine.
Well,
good thing I had tracing running in the background.
Okay.
I'm gonna save that. Save the trace.
All right.
And this is really for expert users, right? A normal user wouldn't go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly if you want to exactly know what's going on, any dependency on other components, what is the process doing. If you're a developer and this is your code, your app,
mm-hmm.
definitely you want to use that to optimize your process and make sure that there's no problem.
Okay.
So I would open that trace in WPA. Should be fairly quick.
Yeah.
It's not a big trace. At least it shouldn't be. I only trace it for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I'm going to expand this. So here, as I mentioned, we've selected the verbose mode. So I have the call stacks for context switches and the call stacks for the read thread events and CPU activity as well.
Great.
So to make sure I can decode those, I'm going to configure my symbol path to point to the public Microsoft symbol server to decode all the function names for the OS for Windows itself. And then here in that custom folder, those are the PDBs, the symbols for
your app.
For my app.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I click OK, and I load the symbols. And it should be quick. Everything has been cached before we start taping. So a few more seconds, and everything should be loaded. There's a lot of symbols, as you can see. So if it's the first time you
this can take a while.
Can take a while.
Especially over a slow network.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, the WPA tool will generate a symbol cache on your hard drive, right? Same cache here.
Same cache.
So if you do a lot of analysis always on the same OS build, don't delete that cache. It's going to grow big over time, but it's going to speed up any subsequent analysis you do of any trace captured on the same OS build. The cache is there.
It'll pull those locally instead of getting them over the web again. Yeah.
So here, the nice thing is that when I selected the first level triage provider, I get a view called UI delays. Tells me that the OS has detected a delay in the UI
of a
process.
Pretty handy.
So
UI delay.
The process is uidelay.exe.
That's interesting.
And I see a thread number. So I know exactly which thread within that process is handling the UI.
Okay.
So since the user felt the problem mm-hmm. by interacting, but the UI, your analysis has to start with that thread.
Sure, okay. That's the starting point.
And the delay here is delimited in time, mm-hmm. right? It starts around 2 seconds, ends around 12 seconds.
Okay.
Might be other delays after that, because as you saw, the not responding tag
went away,
came back, so mm-hmm. maybe that view missed a few things, right? So I would expand my analysis window before and after to make sure I'm capturing everything.
Right.
But at least I know approximately where to start in time, right? Mm-hmm. There's a delay between this timestamp and this timestamp,
okay.
and I know which thread to start my analysis
with.
So 6308 is the thread number. So first thing first is to look at CPU usage.
Okay.
Right? Because maybe it's disk, maybe it's CPU, you never know. Maybe it's something else.
Sure.
So we can take a look at the computation view.
Drag that over.
And we can see UI delay.
Okay.
10 seconds.
So
I want to focus on my thread, right? 60.
Oh, that's interesting. So it was using CPU that whole time, too.
Maybe not that whole time. Maybe just some of the time.
Oh, okay.
Right? Because a delay can be caused by waiting on disk I/O, by CPU usage, and all the other stuff I mentioned.
Yeah, I was just saying it seemed like
there's 10 seconds here that appears to be CPU bound.
Some CPU usage, yeah.
So to make sure it's the right thread, 6308, I would add the thread column, thread ID.
Okay.
And I would verify 6308, 4160. So it's not the thread ID.
Oh, that's not the thread.
So why is this impacting me?
Mm.
That's an interesting question.
That is an interesting question. Because you were looking at, 6308?
6308
right?
is the UI thread.
That's the UI thread, okay.
But that CPU activity happens on another thread.
Mm.
So maybe there's a dependency between those two threads, right?
Right.
The first one is waiting on the other one.
Yeah.
So this is where critical path analysis and wait analysis comes into play.
Okay.
This is the process of understanding the dependencies between multiple threads mm-hmm. and the sequence of events that can lead to a delay.
Right.
So to do that, I would expand the computation KPI, and instead of using the sample profile view, I would use the precise view. So sample is based on sample events. Every millisecond, we sample what's happening on the CPU
mm-hmm.
with the call stack, so mm-hmm. we know what processes are using the core executing
mm-hmm.
code.
Mm-hmm.
And precise is based on context switches.
Yeah.
So we know down to the microsecond when a thread was on the CPU and exited the CPU.
So this is going back to the chart you showed, the different the different thread states, right? When something's running, waiting, ready.
We have very precise discrete events when those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when the thread is in the running state, we know exactly when it starts, when it ends. So it's a very precise measurement. And at the same time, we can use those events to backtrack no dependencies. At the top level, those two charts are the same because the approximation in terms of CPU usage is indistinguishable between those two views. It's really when you drill down into smaller intervals that there's going to be a difference between a 1 millisecond sampling and a microsecond precision in discrete events.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'll drag this in. And I'm going to focus on my UI delay.exe process,
mm-hmm.
filter to selection. And I have my thread IDs here in the second column. So 6308 is the UI thread.
Yeah.
And here, I have multiple columns that align exactly on the thread states that we covered initially.
Ready, wait.
Ready, wait.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here's CPU usage. So when a thread is in the running state, it's going to show up in that column.
Okay.
When a thread is stuck in the ready queue, it's going to show up in those columns.
Mm-hmm.
And when the thread is stuck in the waiting state, it's going to show up here.
Okay.
So here what this tells me is that the UI thread is not being preempted.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't
because
in ready state
like
much.
144 microseconds in mm-hmm. the ready queue, so that shouldn't impact the user.
Mm.
But it's waiting on stuff.
Big one, yeah.
Total of 14 seconds. So total amount of time that thread is waiting in this interval is 14 seconds. And there's a big wait of 9.9. So that's the max column.
That's the max. So that's a single wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
So right off the bat, I know that it's waiting for a long time, yeah. but there's one single wait that accounts for like 66%
yeah.
Of the total amount of time it waits. Okay. If I look at CPU usage, zero. So the UI thread is not using CPU, it's not preempted, it's waiting
on stuff. It's waiting on something, right.
So I'm going to expand this. And the next step is to add the call stacks.
Okay.
So I'm going to add what I call the new thread stack. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to add the ready thread stack. So okay. here, this is really when you want to have a large monitor.
yeah, we kind of low res here for screen capture purposes. But
yeah, I know having two monitors is no the ideal here.
Yeah.
I usually have that screen span across the two monitors to be able to fit everything in my view. But we have to manage here with what we have. So let's collapse a few columns here. I don't need the count. I don't need the ready columns because I've seen that the thread is not preempted. I don't need this. Mm-hmm. So let's just keep the wait columns in view. Focus on 6308. Mm-hmm. And I can, I'm going to sort by some wait. So that what this will do is to put the function calls that are causing the biggest waits at the top of the call stack tree there.
Okay.
So when I expand it, at the top, I'll see
the biggest
contributors.
Culprits, okay.
And here I can see that
CLR goo.
Yeah, so here it breaks down 9 seconds underneath that function, 4 seconds underneath that function. You can expand it. So there's a lot of stuff here. But what I would do is look at the call stacks and see if I can find anything in my code that I recognize, right? Mm-hmm. So I know here I see that the process is waiting on something. I see wait for single object.
So you've called a
I called something wait, that's waiting on a resource. Mm-hmm. So the UI thread is waiting on something. Mm-hmm. And here, if I expand this.
You see, this is what it's waiting
on. What it's waiting on.
I see.
So I see the call stack of what it's waiting on. And I see the thread ID and the process ID of what it was waiting on,
what's holding the UI thread.
Yes.
That's the interesting thing here.
And the ready thread stack is what that other thread was doing at the moment it unblocked 6308.
I see. So this gives you the picture of here's when that wait was satisfied,
yes.
what the call stack was,
yes.
so you can see what it was waiting on.
Exactly. So here, if I summarize, the UI thread is 6308.
Mm-hmm.
It's waiting 10 seconds on thread 4160 within the same process,
mm-hmm.
and thread 4160 was executing code in this form in my application. Here I can see,
yeah.
I click the button,
yeah.
it call a WMI
call. Okay.
So I'm waiting 10 seconds probably on the WMI call. The next step would be, I would look at thread 4160.
Okay.
4160, I would probably at the top. 4160, and okay. I would repeat that analysis.
I see. So you can sort of follow the breadcrumbs
yes.
down to what the root cause
That's
is.
That's why it's called like wait analysis. Mm-hmm. You look at the weights, you analyze the sequence of events along the critical path.
Mm-hmm.
Critical path, which is the sequence of events that is holding up the completion of a scenario.
Very cool.
So if I expand this, I can take a look at here. I still have waits, like 14 seconds. I have some CPU usage here.
Okay, yeah.
So there is CPU activity on that thread.
Yeah.
But I could take a look. So here, my main function of my program.
Uh-huh.
Underneath that, I have 14 seconds here, 8 and 5. That breaks down in 8 seconds and 5 seconds.
Okay, so two different, it sort of breaks off into two different call stacks there. One was 8 seconds and one was 5.
Yes, and I can look at what's happening underneath those functions. Here there's some, so 8 seconds. So it's actually 8 seconds, but it's not one big wait. It's 340 waits, probably, of smaller durations, but total. Is 8 seconds.
Okay.
I could continue down the call stack and the sequence of dependencies to root cause it.
Mm-hmm.
I can take a look at the 5 seconds here. because that one is one big low-hanging fruit. It's one big wait. One big wait of 5 seconds.
That's kind of a red flag.
And you ideally, oh, I see my process here, some code.
Form button,
execute the MIUI call. So I have confirmation, really, that, and oh, user sleep, thread sleep. I'm calling, so there's some sleep operations happening here.
Yeah, so that's kind of bad.
Yeah.
You've got your UI thread waiting on another thread, which is waiting on another thread, which is called sleep. It's not don't do anything for 5 seconds.
So as the app developer, I would look at that function, execute the VMI call, go to my code. So I have my code on the desktop, critical path. Let's open that with Visual Studio. And I would look at that function, like in my code, see, can it be optimized?
Mm-hmm.
Let's wait a few seconds. Okay, it's in the form. Oh, okay. Execute WMI call. I'm doing some WMI operations. And oh, here, not sure why, I'm sleeping 5 seconds.
Yeah,
am I doing this? Maybe there's a good reason, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe there isn't.
Well, there are good reasons for threads to sleep, but usually we shouldn't be doing it when the UI thread's pending in the critical path, right?
So maybe I cannot optimize that function, but what I could do is to, when I click on the click button, dispatch the work to another thread, asynchronously.
Yeah.
And then update the UI without blocking the UI thread.
Right. Yeah. That would probably be the better design. Yes.
Because you don't want to have those dependencies on the UI thread.
Well, and even if you weren't doing the sleep, a WMI call can potentially take quite a bit of time.
Yes.
This one, I'm sure, is just getting some computer data. It's probably pretty fast. But there are WMI calls that can take some time to run.
Can be expensive to call into that API.
Particularly if you're making a lot of them. And, one thing that I've seen in the past is, high CPU usage, and you go and look at it, it's all this WMI, process that's using the CPU, and it's because some app is just making a ton of WMI calls.
Exactly.
And it's a very expensive thing to do. So
I mean, but that process is applicable to anything. Right?
Yeah.
Here, this that is specific example, I mean, the
WMI.
But is the VMI call plus the sleep?
But it could be waiting on disk. It could be waiting on a network resource. Yes. It could be waiting on anything. Yeah. Right?
And maybe the sequence of events is very deep. Maybe you have one thread waiting on another thread, which is waiting on another process through inter-process communication.
Mm.
The good thing here is that using those events, you can backtrack all of this
and figure out what
root cause it is.
And you're not even just capturing that process. You get a whole the whole OS picture. So
exactly. You see everything else, a holistic view of what's happening.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, that's true, because a lot of times you're not waiting on something in the same process.
Yep,
you're waiting on some service or something.
So now we have a good understanding of what waits are at cause here, but there's also CPU usage, right? 10% here on our thread number 4160. So let's go back to the CPU usage sample view.
Mm.
UI delay, 4160, and I have the call stack. And I have 10 seconds in my main function underneath. I can go deeper in the call stack. Bum, 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 bum.
Right arrow to expand those.
And I have a function call, execute CPU intensive operations.
Yeah,
so that's pretty
That's kind of
obvious
sample thing here.
But again, here the problem is my UI thread has a dependency on that second thread, which is doing this.
Which is going out, getting time zone info or something.
So if I go back to the code, I see like my main, where's my main function below? Oh, the click button, so it pings the server, executes CPU intensive operation, and then execute the WMI call sequentially.
It's also doing network activity,
pinging the server. So I didn't go down that path, because those were all the small waits, right?
Right.
8 seconds, 240 waits that totalize 8 seconds.
Mm.
I didn't go down that path because the call stack was pretty deep, but if I had done it, I would have seen that dependency on the networking stack. Mm. And all those pings going to a server.
Yeah, so there's multiple reasons for this one to be slow.
And this is all a dummy example, right?
Yeah.
But just to showcase the methodology.
Absolutely.
So for example, another thing you could do using this is, let's go back to boot time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you type your password, right? You're at work, you type in your password, press enter, and then you're stuck on the logon screen for a huge amount of time. You want to know why this is happening. It's not using CPU, it's not using disk, you don't see the disk light flashing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's doing something with the network.
Right.
You get a trace. And the only thing you need to know is when in the trace do I need to analyze, and what thread or process do I begin with?
Right.
And the good thing is that most of the OS components are instrumented, right? Even when logon. So if I go to boot trace, let's close this. Let's go and open the boot trace, the same trace we used last time.
Yeah.
In the previous episode.
Okay.
I can take a look at
UI delays.
Not UI delays, but in that case, it's not a UI delay. It's like a process.
That's true. It's more of a.
You have the WinLogon provider.
Ah.
Here, and I can see WinLogon operations during boot.
Okay.
So here everything's fine, but if you had a very long logon operation,
you can
should
see
be able
that.
To see it here.
And then
the good thing is you have. So you're going to see. You're going to know when in the trace you need to do the analysis.
Yeah.
But you also need to know what thread to analyze. So here we don't have the thread IDs in that view. But what you can do is go to the generic events view.
Okay.
So any event that doesn't have a specific graph for usually end up in generic events.
Okay.
So you're going to see discrete events logged by OS components. And it could also be your own component if you're an app developer or a driver developer that has custom ETW instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
So here I would focus on the WinLogon provider.
Logon.
I would like filter the selection. And then I can add the thread ID column. Oh, it's already there somewhere. Thread ID. So I could look at all the operations that WinLogon is doing. I hear there's a request something,
request credentials. Mm-hmm.
It takes, in that case, it doesn't take a long time. It only takes 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was 5 seconds, 10 seconds, right?
Yeah.
I would expand this, and I see the thread ID here. It stops, the operation stops on thread 3154.
Oh, so that's the thread that satisfies that weight.
Yeah.
So you go look at
it. It doesn't satisfy that weight. It's the thread that handles this operation. So this operation taking a long time.
Right. So then you go look at that thread and then see what it was waiting on. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I would go to the computation precise view, look at this thread between those two timestamps. Mm-hmm. And do the same analysis just did with the UI delay.exe process.
And then you see what thread satisfied the weight.
Yeah. And you might find CPU usage, you might find a dependency on a security provider, or maybe the IT shop in your business is pushing down group policy scripts.
Yeah.
That's holding up your logon time. You should be able to see that there.
I've seen cases in the past where people have third party authentication providers for whatever reason, fingerprint readers or various types of things.
So the method is, it looks simple, but it requires a lot of, ramping up. You need to play with the tools to get familiar with those views and understand how to navigate through all the data you have access to.
Yeah.
But the method is very powerful. Once you know how to navigate through that, you just need a thread ID, two timestamps, when is the operation beginning, when does it end, and you apply the method and the logic, and you find all the dependencies through that.
Very cool.
And we could probably do another 2 hours episode, right?
We could really dive in if people want to get into it. But this is a great way to kind of get started and see that methodology of what, how do I see, it's not obvious. The tool is very powerful. And so, once you sort of have that idea of where do I begin with this?
Yeah. So I would encourage people scratch the surface, play with it, and then that's what I did when I started at Microsoft. I was an analyst doing performance analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Just play with the tool, and then you build that knowledge base, that expertise, and then it's easy. Right?
Very cool. Cool. All right. That's all we got this week.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Sylvain, for coming down from Montreal here in the wintertime. That's our show. Thanks for watching. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down below or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.